Welcome to Scuderia F1, the podcast that's always up to speed with the latest Formula One news. Follow us on Twitter at Scuderia F1 Pod and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Daly and Kevin Laramie.
Hey everybody, what is up? Welcome to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One here on the Overtime Media Network. Mark Daly welcoming you back to the show this week. And guys, it's not been going all that great this evening. Again, more equipment problems delaying me yesterday and today, and it's getting a little bit frustrating. I'm starting to pull out what little hair I have left, but let's just go and give it a go. Lots of news to get through this week, so let's just jump right into it. No small talk. Let's just get right down to business. And one of the big pieces of news this week is that Red Bull has decided to keep Alexander Albon for 2020, and they're also going to be keeping both the Toro Rosso drivers, Pierre Gasly and Danny Kvyat, in whatever they're going to be called, AlphaTauri or whatever it is next year. I forget what the name is. Anyways, I think it's a good news that they're going to keep Albon at Red Bull for next year. I think he's done a very good job after replacing Pierre Gasly halfway through the season. Gasly struggled right out of the gate in winter testing, never really found a groove in the season itself. And Alex has to say, quote, "I'm really excited to be partnering Max again for next year, and I know how fortunate I am to be given this opportunity. I'm hugely thankful that Red Bull have put their trust in me, and I believed in my results since I joined the team, and for them to keep me in the car next year is a big deal. This has been an incredible year for me, and getting the call up to Red Bull mid-season was already a big step, so now I'll use all the learnings from the season and use the experience to improve the fight at the front in 2020. So he did have a couple of crashes since he's joined Red Bull, just like Gasly, but Gasly, he just couldn't do very much. I mean, the thing was, he just wasn't able to score points as consistently as Albon has done. And Albon has been, well, I mean, he's been quite an upgrade on Pierre Gasly in the races. He's had four consecutive top five finishes and has outscored Max Verstappen 68-54 in the seven races as teammates. So very, very impressive stuff. And well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you look at the Constructors' Championship and it really was a question of, certainly was an issue that Pierre Gasly wasn't delivering points as much as he should and could do. Because, I mean, the Red Bull maybe not as I think they've done a good job. Let's not take anything. I don't want to throw shade at them. But with the Honda engine, definitely, I'd say that they're on the same level as they were at the Renaults last year. Maybe a little bit ahead at times this year, which is where they wanted to be. And that's where Honda's promised, big promise to say so. But Pierre Gasly just not delivering the points, I think ultimately that's cost him. I mean, when we've seen Ferrari struggle the way that they have this year, I think that they really could have done a lot more. And I think that if they had more points in the Constructors' Championship, I think that it could have been a lot closer to Ferrari, or perhaps they might have even been second in the Constructors' Championship. But of course, now we will never know. But good to see Alexander Albon getting his reward and sticking with Red Bull for next year. And as talking about next year, Red Bull think that it'll be their most expensive year ever in Formula One, with their costs that are set to ramp up because of the huge development needed for the 2021 rule. So that is really, really mind-blowing considering how much money that these top teams are really spending. But I mean, the budget cap is not coming into effect for next season's coming in after that, but Red Bull are really looking to get a head start on the cars for the new era that will come in 2021. And Christian Horner, the Red Team principal, said that there are enough areas of freedom in the new rules that he believes is worth investing more in it. And he says, quote, "You have an unrestricted, uncontrolled amount of money that you can spend on research and development across other areas. For me, I stand by what I said previously. It would have been better to have introduced the cap first and then the regulations a year down the line, because then the budget cap would have constrained the amount to spend. Next year looks to be our most expensive year in F1. Now, the 2020 regulations are clear. We have an advanced team starting to investigate those regulations. It makes an incredibly expensive year because we're developing under two types of regs and before the new financial comes in as well. So 2020 will be an expensive and busy year, certainly on and off the track. So it really is interesting to see what they're going to do. But I mean, yeah, they're going to be developing a car for next year, going to be developing the car in season, and then, of course, trying to get everything developed and running for 2021. And I mean, we have an idea of course, what that's all going to mean, and we're going to talk about that later in the show. But of course, I think I speak not only for myself, but a good many other Formula One fans around the world is, however these new rules play out when they come into effect for 2021, let's just hope that it leads to more exciting racing. I mean, there have been at times this year that I think the racing has been pretty exciting. I think it's been pretty close. I mean, can it get better? It can always get better. But what are we expecting? Cars passing each other each and every lap on each and every corner? I don't know. I think that really depends. I think that's a very personal kind of view for each and every Formula One fan out there. It's just like, how much action on the track is just right? What is the right amount? Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And I'm just, guys, I apologize, but I'm going to really just tear through all the news here, or else we're going to be here for about 2.5 hours, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but there is so much to really talk about. So moving over to Mercedes, and there is a lot of Mercedes news this week. And Toto Wolff, the team principal there, says making a fewer mistakes was the key to winning the 2019 title. And it's kind of an interesting scenario because they started the season very, very strong. I mean, they came out in Australia, and Valtteri Bottas was just flying. I mean, he was a very, very good statement to start the year. I mean, even Lewis Hamilton couldn't catch up to him this year. But, I mean, they had 1-2 finishes for so many races. I don't remember right off the top of my head what it was, but they were so dominant in the first third, almost the first half of the year. But it really was a case, I think, that they were just themselves. Mercedes is so reliable. They're so, I hate to say almost predictable, but I mean, they're almost predictable in their reliability. And it certainly led to the results on the track. And where they were just themselves and just were getting or taking care of business, Ferrari and Red Bull just could not match what they were doing. Red Bull was always going to be, I think, a little bit more of a long shot to challenge Mercedes this year, just in the fact that they were switching engine suppliers from Renault to Honda this year. And it was always going to be a bit of an unknown quantity coming into the season, how that would actually translate to their results on the track and how that would really work out for them. And it worked out pretty good. I mean, Max has won a couple of races. Of course, Hockenheim at the German Grand Prix was... there's a bit of an outlier being that bizarre wet race, but hey, a win is a win. I mean, it's still 25 points. You're still the top guy on the podium, and it is what it is. I mean, the impressive one for me, excuse me, was the, of course, the Austrian Grand Prix, because everybody was, basically on equal terms, because it was a dry race. The weather was great. It was perfect conditions for racing. And Red Bull and that combination of Max, the Red Bull, and the Honda engine just were not going to be beat that day. So they've definitely had their moments, but Ferrari just really struggled to get any kind of momentum this year. And it wasn't really till after the summer break that they really found their feet and won a couple of races in a row and started to look like the Ferrari that we've become used to over the past couple of years. Of course, that has been, or has not been, without controversy. Obviously, the FIA ruling on the oil burning and the engine trickery that was supposedly going on at Ferrari, and of course they weren't quite as good at the U.S. Grand Prix at Austin a week and a half ago as they were over the past four or five races since the summer break. And of course there was a lot of speculation that was because they had to change what they were doing with their engines, because, you know, they were on the wrong side of the suspicion was that they were kind of playing the gray area with some of the things you could and could not do with the engines, and burning oil and all these different trickery or different things that they can get around. And of course Max Verstappen was accusing them of cheating, and Ferrari said that wasn't the case. So Anyways, the point is that they just haven't been able to challenge Mercedes, and Mercedes really just ran away with it. But it for me, hasn't been their most dominant season, and it might sound a little bit kind of weird to say that, but they've won a lot of races, obviously. I mean, the Russia was one that they probably shouldn't have won. That was one that maybe kind of fell into their lap a little bit. But, you know, over the course of the year, I mean, what it really comes down to is it reflects who is the champion, both in the Constructors and the Drivers' World Championship, is just who is the best team and the best driver over the 20 or 21 races, whatever it is, any given year. And ultimately, that's what it comes down to. But Toto Wolff has to say, quote, "Every championship seems like the hardest. It may be because we are protected by our memory, but certainly this year has had its ups and downs. We came out of the block very strong, didn't have the quickest package on Saturday for a long time, but we were able to make the least mistakes on Sunday. And that was probably the biggest key to us making us win the championship. Obviously, for me, the highlight was Austin. We came back to old form, winning the title decider with Valtteri, and winning the championship with Lewis with strong pace, for me, is the highlight of the season." And I think that really is, he sums it up nicely. They came out, they started the season very strong. They weren't the best in qualifying, but in the race, they made the fewest mistakes. And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, they really are very proficient in what they do, especially on Sundays, and the results. And they really do speak for themselves. I mean, especially when they've won the Constructors' Championship so many seasons in a row now. They've won God only knows how many races between Lewis Hamilton, Valtteri Bottas, and Nico Rosberg. Certainly won his fair share before he retired in 2016. And they really have raised the bar in Formula One by a considerable amount. And anyone trying to recreate what they've done over the past several years certainly has their work cut out for them. Moving along now, Toto Wolff went on to say that in the future that he wants to handle Valtteri Bottas' contracts better. Well, that's another piece of news. I should have led with that off at the top with the news about Alexander Albon, but I put it together, all the Mercedes news. Anyways, Bottas has been confirmed that he will be back with Mercedes in 2020, and that will extend his time with the team to at least 4 years. And I don't know, is anybody surprised by this? I think that that this year was definitely a better year for him than last year. I mean, he's got 7 wins in total in his time with Mercedes, and I think that he pretty much ticks all the boxes for a guy that you would want there. I mean, he's there. He's going to get the occasional pole. He's going to get the occasional win. He's always going to be a favorite to get on the podium every weekend, and that's by and large a lot of the reasons why they've continued to win the Constructors' Championships since he joined the team for 2017. Is just that even though Lewis Hamilton might steal all the headlines and might get all the press and the world championships, I mean, Valtteri Bottas, I mean, if Mercedes is predictable in their reliability, as I was saying just now, that Valtteri Bottas himself is very reliable and has delivered a big number of points to the team over the years. And I think that this contract is really reflective of that. And, well, I think that you can see why maybe Toto was looking around, but who would really come in? Would you think that you would replace Bottas, has been proven to be reliable over the past several years, and maybe pick up Nico Hülkenberg, who's out there looking for a job, or maybe promote Esteban Ocon, although he's been confirmed at Renault for next year? But the thing was that Toto did say that the long uncertainty for Valtteri Bottas was a quote pain in the ass. So you can understand that point of view or that comment, because certainly they left it going for a long time, because he's the last guy really to be confirmed beside Alexander Albon. All the other seats were basically spoken and taken for a long time ago, and it is well deserved for Valtteri. I think that you just have to expect that Mercedes are going to be the favorites again next year. I mean, it's hard to see them developing a bad engine and a bad car and just getting it all wrong. And it really would take a lot, I think, for Ferrari and Red Bull to really close that gap over the winter and really be better than Mercedes. Until proven otherwise, I can't really see how you bet against them. Bottas had to say about his contract renewal, and I quote, "There's definitely uncertainty for 2020 at some point, lots of rumors. I had no idea what was going to happen. I just had to wait. As an athlete, as a driver, it's not an ideal situation. You can't be complete with peace of mind and focus on the job and feel mentally free and in the right place. It's tricky when that continues year after year, every single year of your career. At some point, it is getting a pain in the ass. It is definitely nice to get the contract signed, but it's good to be going to the same story next year. I'm not too worried at this point because the pace is good. I enjoy the driving. I enjoy working with the team, and I hope they appreciate that as well." So, well, like Toto Wolff was saying, that it probably did have a bit of an effect on his driving, just dragging out, prolonging the contract renewal. And he said that he will try to make a better job of that in the future. And he said for 2021, the door is wide open. They don't have any drivers contracted to any team. And that's super exciting. I think that the driver carousel is going to start pretty soon. So you can imagine that it could be... I mean, we've seen some silly seasons before in who's going to go to which team, but that really opens up a lot of things for 2021. It could be quite interesting to see who ends up where. Anyways, I was watching NFL a little bit earlier, Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Sorry, guys, wrong sport. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Anyways, I was just thinking, Mike Tomlin, he's been their head coach there since 2007. I was just, oh my gosh, that's really gone quickly. Anyways, I wanted to talk now a little bit about our friends at Vivid Seats, and they're back as a sponsor again this week. Anyways, they are the top source for tickets and events that you want to go to, like the NFL. Of course, there's still a month or so left in the NFL season, but you can get all the tickets that you want there. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL. Hey, you can even get Formula One tickets on Vivid Seats. So they are, like I say, the top sorts for tickets for any of the events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, they now have a loyalty program that allows to earn credit back, and that's Vivid Seats Reward. So go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards. Sorry, the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. That's a mouthful for that's such a late time of night here. Anyways, every purchase is backed by 100% buyer guarantee. For the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. And remember, when it's time to buy, enter the promo code OVERTIME at checkout. That's for new users. And you can receive a discount for up to $100. So if you're thinking of checking it out, and you should because they're absolutely fantastic, if you're a new customer, make sure you use my promo code OVERTIME and you could save up to $100. So that's really sort of sells itself, doesn't it? Anyways, talk about things for the future now. What is Lewis going to do after he retires from Formula One? And of course, this is a little bit of speculation because Lewis hasn't said that he's going to retire anytime soon, and of course he's only 34, and why would you think that Lewis would need to retire, have to retire, when he's still getting it done on the track each and every weekend, still one of the best drivers out there, if not the best driver, still one of the quickest guys around over the course of a single lap, and he just continues to deliver race after race, year after year. But at some point time catches up with everyone, even a great racing driver like Lewis Hamilton. And one of these days, he's going to have to call it a career and look to do something else. And he does say the idea of staying with Mercedes beyond racing in Formula One is becoming more attractive to him and becoming more involved with the parent company Daimler. So we'll wait and see what that is. But his current contract runs to the end of 2020, but he's hinted that he would like to stay in Formula One beyond then to sample the new 2021 regulations. And of course, if you've been in motor racing for a long time and you've seen all these hints at what's to come, and I think that Lewis is obviously earned the right to walk away from Formula One whenever he wants. And honestly, sometimes I say, and I've said on the show before, that sometimes I get a little bit tired of watching him win each and every week, but that doesn't mean I don't respect the guy. He is an amazing driver, and what he has done is absolutely remarkable. I don't want to take that against him, and I don't want to see like I'm anti Lewis Hamilton, because I am not. I think he's a wonderful driver, a good ambassador for the sport, but one of these days he's going to have to walk away. way. But anyways, when he does, and like I say, he's earned that right to do it on his own terms, he has sort of hinted at some things, and he said, quote, "Nothing is set in stone, but I am definitely enjoying what I'm doing right now, and I see no reason in stopping because I love what I do. When there's a challenge, a whole massive change in the regulations, that's a huge challenge for me as a driver to use my skills and the things I've learned over the years to help steer the team in the right direction to develop the fastest car and still develop consistencies and punch out performances. I don't particularly see myself going anywhere else. I love being at Mercedes. I love being part of the brand and the story. The idea of staying with Mercedes, I've been with them since I was 13 years old, even beyond Formula One, and probably be heavily involved with Daimler and beyond is quite attractive. So we'll see how it goes." Anyways, Lewis dropping some hints as what he might want to do in Formula One after he retires. But he says before then, he's still working on a masterpiece in Formula One. And I don't think I need to go over the stats again. I did that last week compared to himself and Michael Schumacher, which is, it's really coming down to it. I mean, he could equal and pass Michael in some of the categories that he's still trailing him in this coming season. I think that he needs about 10 or 11 wins to pass Michael in the total of races won. I mean, that's very possible. I mean, if he has a dominant year like he's had this year, then it's quite conceivable that he could be the all-time leader in the wins category. I mean, if he wins the championship next year, he'll be tied with 7 with Michael. And once that's done, then really the sky is the limit. I really honestly never thought that we'd see another driver win 7 world championships after Schumacher did it. I thought he was one of a kind. I mean, certainly a very different personality, very different driver than Lewis Hamilton. But I mean, there's always going to be, in any era of Formula One, there's going to be one guy that stands out head and shoulders above the rest. I mean, in the past, it was Schumacher, then it was Senna. I mean, just go back through the years. I mean, every era has an iconic driver that really stood out. Anyways, it still is a kind of a mind blower to me. I mean, when you look back at the beginning of 2018, and you had Sebastian Vettel and Lewis Hamilton both tied on 4 world championships, and one was going to take break that deadlock at the end of last year and be the be a 5-time world championship. And I mean, or sorry, champion. And I mean, even just winning one is a phenomenal achievement, and to win multiple championships is really a phenomenal achievement for anyone. I mean, Vettel winning 4 when he was at Red Bull, and Lewis winning 6, you know, 1 at McLaren, 5 at Mercedes. Absolutely fantastic stuff. But I thought last year that even though that they had 4 apiece, that I still felt in 2018 that Schumacher's 7 was almost, I wouldn't say untouchable, but definitely, if not quite out of reach, definitely at arm's length. But then when Hamilton won 5, and then this year when it maybe before the summer break. I mean, obviously by the summer break, it was all wrapped up, and it was just a question of time before Lewis was crowned champion. I mean, the only person that was ever going to catch him was Valtteri Bottas, and again, that seemed unlikely. But anyways, when it looked like it was going to be Lewis's title at the beginning of the summer, I really thought to myself, gosh, you know, this 7 of Michael Schumacher's really isn't untouchable. It really is a lot closer than certainly I felt that it was, and perhaps a lot of other people, including Lewis Hamilton. So he's really closing it down quickly. But anyways, Lewis had to say, quote, "I've tried to make sure that I've started the season as I finished last year, and I think that's just stayed through the season. I've been very consistent in qualifying. I've not had a particularly spectacular pole position that perhaps I did last year, but it's been second row the majority of the time. Apart from Hockenheim, where, of course, he crashed off in the rain. But I'll give myself a pass for that weekend because I wasn't really 100%. I think that's been the best performing year." Nope, I lost my notes here. Pardon me about that. Oh, here we go. Anyways, I'm still working on a masterpiece that I haven't quite finished yet. It takes a long time to master a craft. takes a long time to master a craft, and whilst I feel like I'm mastering it, there's still more to master. There's still more to add to it. There are still more pieces to the puzzle to add. There are going to be more ups and downs along the way, but I feel like I've got the best tools now to be able to deal with those. And certainly, I think that if Lewis has a good car, and like I say, there's no indication that the Mercedes won't give him a good car next year, it just seems like he will be adding to the story and adding to the impressive resume and the impressive list of achievements that that he's made in Formula One ever since he joined the series way back when. Anyways, he may be looking to build on his masterpiece, but Valtteri Bottas says he has what he calls a secret plan to beat Lewis Hamilton next year. But he says he's not going to play any mind games with his teammate, which may be a good thing, because it was interesting. I think it was earlier this year that I remember listening to Nico Rosberg, and he was saying that, you know, that's not really a game that that you want to get into with Lewis, you know, the mind games and the mental aspect of it, because Lewis is just so mentally tough that that he's going to beat you, you know, get inside your head almost and beat you each and every time. But, you know, I really can't see Bottas going head to head with Lewis Hamilton. I mean, he really, I think, did well in at the U.S. Grand Prix a couple of weeks ago, and I was surprised that that he passed Hamilton as easy as he did. I mean, Hamilton did fight a little bit for it, but Bottas had the better tires, he had more pace, so it really was more of a token defense from Lewis, if anything else. But I can't really see those two going head to head for wins on a regular basis. I mean, I think that Lewis is still faster. I mean, Bottas has been better on different tracks at different times this year. Australia was one, Baku was another one, Austin was another one. I mean, Bottas is obviously, he's also a very good driver. I mean, the car is obviously good as well. And I just think over the course of the entire season, while he might have his individual moments and weekends and races where he is the better of the two, I think over the course of 20 or 21 or 22 races, whatever we're going to have next year, that that Lewis Hamilton is going to be, you know, he's going to be the one that comes out on top. Anyways, Bottas did say, quote, "To be honest, I'm already slightly bored about that question, because every other driver is individual. I am not me. I am not Nico," just referring to the mental battle. "For sure, I have plans to find the different ways of how I want to achieve my goal, which is ultimately the championship. That means beating my teammate, but also many other drivers. I've also preferred to do talking on the track, and if I'm able to keep up my performance and put all the energy I have into my performance, then that is best for me. If I start wasting my energy elsewhere, it might take my mind off the driving, which is what really matters. If I can perform at the level I want, that normally upsets the other side of the garage a little bit, and I know being on the other side of it as well, it can lead you to mistakes. I have a plan for next year, but I'm not willing to share it, so we will find out." So Valtteri dropping some hints there as to what he's going to do next year. And I don't know. I mean, like I say, I think that he'll have his moments, but still, until proven otherwise, much as, you know, Mercedes being proven otherwise is not being the best team, I have to see it before my eyes that Lewis is not the best driver anymore. But all respect to Valtteri for you know, saying that he's got an idea, that he's got a plan how he's going to take the fight to Hamilton next year, and ultimately it'll play out over the course of the entire World Championship. So look forward to that. Anyways, just going back to Lewis again and his recent win in the first six World Championship, he said that he was moved by text messages that he received from former teammate Fernando Alonso and Ron Dennis, and he said it was pretty amazing that he got these congratulatory messages from these guys after he won his Formula One World Championship just a couple of weeks ago. And he said, quote, "Recognition is not something that drives me, but definitely is an honor when you have it from other drivers, particularly like Seb, that you get so much for their ability to give it. Over the years, you have commented on their ability, you have belief in their ability, and you've built up a rapport that is constantly growing. And for them to take a moment and show that a bit of respect is amazing. Us 20 drivers particularly know how hard it is to do what we do, and only a few of us really truly know how hard it is to win on a consistent basis year to year. Seb is one of those, so it is really awesome. I got a text from Fernando as well, which is pretty amazing. I was really grateful for that. We have been through a whirlwind of experiences together over the years, and in all honesty, I have always had respect for what he's achieved and his ability, and has also seen his growth through his period of time at McLaren. So they were teammates way back when in 2007, and that was it was like oil and water. Let's just put it that way. They didn't really mix too well, and Fernando left at the end of the year. But also good to see that Ron Dennis is a former boss at McLaren, Lewis's, that is. A nice touch from him as well. He said that he met him way back when he was 10 years old, and he said that Ron saw something in him that the only other person in the world did at that time was his dad. So that's a pretty cool story. So sticking with Mercedes, I know that there's been a lot of Mercedes news, but I promise in a couple minutes we're going to move on to other things. So Toto Wolff, he's going to slack off a little bit this weekend, in manner of speaking. And of course, I joke a little bit, but he's going to miss his first race in Formula One. He's not going to be in the garage at Interlagos at the Brazilian Grand Prix, and this is going to be the first time that he's missed a race since 2013. But he said that now that both the Constructors and Drivers Championships have been won, gives him the opportunity to focus on some other things, so he's not going to be there. So it will be a little bit weird. I mean, you get used to seeing all these people as regulars, and so it'll be a little bit strange not to see Toto. Yeah, you know, I mean, he's fairly stone-faced, but every once in a while, you know, he can get a little bit animated if things go well or not so well, depending on the situation. But certainly, it'll be a little bit strange not to see him there. The other thing that I wanted to talk about now is Felipe Massa, who believes that that Charles Leclerc could win his first world championship before Max Verstappen. And you know, these are both two young guys, both of them rising stars. Well, obviously both stars in Formula One, and both of them both look like they are potential world champions. And well, it's interesting to hear Massa weigh on this. I mean, he was world champion for what, about 15 seconds before Lewis Hamilton came across in what was it, fifth position way back in 2008 to win the championship that year, win his first world title. But anyways, as I said, he's hugely impressed by the way that Charles Leclerc has settled in so quickly at Ferrari. And that's the thing about Charles. For a guy, young guy that's only been 2 years in Formula One now, I mean, he looked comfortable last year, even as a rookie at Sauber. I mean, the way that that he really outperformed his teammate Marcus Ericsson over the course of the entire season was really, really impressive stuff. And it was, I think, in a sense, a little bit of a surprise that he went to Ferrari so soon. I didn't have any doubts that he probably would go there, but I didn't think that it would be after only 1 year. But I mean, he's proven already that he's deserving to be with the Scuderia, that he deserves a top drive in Formula One, and that's echoed by Felipe Massa. And I mean he was there for a long time at Ferrari, so he knows what it takes to be a Ferrari driver. 8 years in total for Felipe Massa. That seems like a long time ago now, but he only just retired recently and finishing up his career at Williams. But he goes on to say that he feels that Charles is a very talented driver, but what he thinks is very impressive is just his mentality and just the way that the guy is able to handle pressure. And I think that is an excellent point, because going from a team like Selva Alfa Romeo, as it was last year, and then going to one of the biggest teams in Formula One, if not in motor racing anywhere, in Ferrari, there's going to be a lot of pressure to go with that. But I mean, he did show right off of the very bat that he could get it done. I think he finished fifth at the Australian Grand Prix, and that was only because of team orders. Vettel just didn't have any pace that weekend, and then he was told to hang back and stay behind Seb and not overtake him. So he could have done more than that. I mean, certainly he should have won the race after that at Bahrain, but the mechanical issue and a fortunate safety car saved a podium for him. And then he's won several races in the season since then. And he's become an instant star there. But Massa says that he's not sure whether or not he's faster and then slower than Max. But, you know, 7 pole positions in his rookie year really does speak volumes for it. And Felipe thinks as well. I mean, there have been some downs for Charles as well. I mean, one, of course, was when he put it into the wall and qualifying at Baku. That's, you know, but I mean, the thing is, as good as Charles has been, I mean, he's made some mistakes along the way, but you've got to give him that little bit of room. I mean, as talented and as good as the guy is, he still needs that that room to grow and get the experience. And unfortunately, there might be some of these little hiccups along the way. And of course, when it comes to between Charles and Max winning a world championship first, yeah, I can see that too. I mean, I could see that Ferrari building a title contender quicker than sooner than Red Bull. But again, that that could be proven otherwise. Honda seemed to be getting the job done. I mean, as a rule, Red Bull they always seem to be spot on with their tactics and strategy during races, and you know, they could. They've got a good partnership going with Honda. You know that a car that is designed by a design team headed by Adrian Newey is going to be a good car. So, you know, I mean, just on paper, it would be, I think, the logical thing to say that Charles in a Ferrari would win a world championship sooner than Max Verstappen. Yeah, we'll wait and see in reality. I think that both of these guys are going to be world champions one of these days, and the question is who. I think I would agree with Felipe and go with Charles, but I don't think it is as clear-cut as maybe he might think. All right, well, the next piece of news is that, sticking with Max, Fernando Alonso says that exciting Max Verstappen is Formula One's best driver right now. And that's kind of an interesting one because, I mean, the thing is, I mean, Charles is very, very good to watch as well, but Max just is a little bit braver, I guess, and is a little bit more... he does things in a little bit of a different way. I mean, that's not to take anything away from Charles, but Alonso said, there's a reason why the drivers in the series are up there. It's not by chance. It's because they are the best. And F1 is difficult to choose the best because it changes a lot from year to year and from car to car. There are drivers who are fast over one lap and others at starts. There are others who are consistent and others who are very aggressive. I would say right now the best is Max Verstappen. He is a driver that I like to follow. This year I've watched the races on television. I like to see him because he is always in attack mode. If you see there's a third, if you see he is in third and catches a guy in second, you know he won't stay there. You know he'll try at some point to get past, and that is for the fans something exciting. And that's true. Max, he is always in attack mode. It doesn't matter where he is on the track. He's always looking to get ahead, and it really does make an exciting thing to watch. And I mean, he's had his moments over the years too, and done some things that you know that maybe haven't been the best for him or reflect the best version of Max Verstappen. But I think certainly since Monaco 2018, since he put into the wall in FP3 and ended up missing qualifying, I think that was that milestone moment for Max, and I think that really helped him get focused because he struggled and had some moments in other races in the beginning of that season as well. But that's when it kind of really boiled over, and all credit to the guy. You know, he really buckled down, really got his head together, and the Max Verstappen that we've seen since then has been pretty much the best I think we can expect from the guy. Again, much like Charles, I mean, we've kind of watched him grow up before our eyes to a certain extent, and I mean, he's been an exciting guy to watch. I mean, he has been you know, like Alonso said, aggressive at times, but for Max that's just works, and he is fun to watch. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Anyways, before we move on here, I just want to mention our friends at MyBookie. They're back again this year. And, you know, if it isn't time, they haven't got in on the action on NFL, NHL, NBA, whatever it is, now is the time. So go and check out the latest from my friends at MyBookie.ag. So, of course, in addition to the traditional spreads and totals, quarters, halves, or periods on the ice, player props, including points, yards, or goals, PGA, NASCAR, soccer, and much more. Now is the best time to get in on the action. Sign up at mybookie.ag and use the promo code OVERTIME and they will match your first deposit. Again, the promo code is OVERTIME. New users get their first deposit doubled. Mybookie.ag, you play, you win, you get paid. Okay, Renault. Let's talk a little bit about Renault. I mean, this has been not a really, really great season for them. Obviously, they've struggled, and as I've said about them several times this year, I felt like they've regressed a little bit, and well, they said that they needed to reset after the French Grand Prix milestone. And he said that he realized that the team needed a staffing shake-up way back in June after the much-anticipated update for the French Grand Prix failed to deliver. And I think that really sums things up this year, that they have failed to deliver. They have incrementally moved forward each and every year since they've come back into Formula One. But this year has been a real disappointment. And I was really hoping for good things from them. I mean, they finished fourth in the World Championship last year, and I was really hoping to see them close the gap to Red Bull more for 2019, and they just haven't been able to do that. And I thought, well, you know, they're going to have two good drivers in the team this year with Danny Ricciardo and Nico Hülkenberg, and well, they just haven't been, they just haven't delivered. And that is really sad, because if you go on and see some of the other things that they're talking about, Alain Prost, he said that, that they're still not in a very stable situation. And, you know, of course it's been a tough year for them, but it is, it disturbs me a little bit, because they're not spending as much money as, say, Red Bull or Ferrari or Mercedes, and that's fine. I mean, they're just spending within their means. But, I mean, this is a team that is backed by one of the major car manufacturers in Europe, if not the world. I mean, the Renault-Nissan partnership. I mean, there's a lot of money, a lot of resources that that they have at their disposal. But it just really isn't working right now. And I'm a little bit worried whether or not they're going to stick around in Formula One. And I don't by any means think that, you know, you should just be in Formula One, that that it's some sort of a right that everyone has. I mean, of course, you deserve to be there, and you have to earn your keep and all that. But I mean, this is a manufacturer that has had success as an engine supplier, and also as a manufacturer in their own right. And to see them kind of really spinning their wheels and not really going anywhere. But Prost told Motorsport.com, "It is not over, but we are more confident for sure. After what has happened, when we lost the points in Japan, it makes quite a big difference, because it's not only losing points, it gave more points than the others, so we really deserve to be where we are. At least at the end of the season, we need to show something, but it's good for the morale of the people. We have had a very tough season. We have been good most of the time for the second part of the season in the races, but sometimes you have accidents in the first corner or whatever. With a little bit of luck, we can fight more with McLaren. We know where we are, but it's very difficult to explain outside, because you're trying to build something. Sometimes you lose a bit. We are still not in a very stable situation, because we are, because as you see, we are changing the organization. But we keep going. I'm not at all pessimistic for the future, but it takes a bit more time to be there." So obviously, there's behind the scenes, things are still not 100% as to what they need or where they need to be, and they certainly have their work cut out for them. And I really wanted to see more from Danny Ricciardo this year, and I thought that he was taking a big gamble, and just based on his first year with Renault, it seems to obviously not have paid off. But I guess we have to wait and see how it goes next year, whether or not they improve. But a little bit early to say, you know, Ricciardo, you should have really stayed where you were. But I guess, of course, hindsight is 20/20. But Ricciardo himself says that he's really improved his racecraft thanks to the midfield fights that he's had, because, I mean, he's been in the middle of the pack all year. So that is one thing that's really worked out in his favor. But, you know, I mean, he was in good place with Renault. I mean, he was good for a couple of podiums and an odd win here and there. And this year has missed a little bit of something without seeing Ricciardo up on the podium and doing his stereo or his, I guess, his trademarked shoey celebration. Anyways, let's change now. Let's talk about Ferrari for a little bit. And they said that their in-season development exceeded expectations. And the amount of downforce that that they have added has some positive effects, according to team principal Mattia Bodato. And, well, that was the big problem that they had. I mean, they were about a second and a half quicker in winter testing way back when. But when we got to the season, they just weren't as good in the real season as they were in the unofficial winter season at testing, and the problem they had was a lack of grip, lack of downforce, and of course that affected their speeds in the cornering. They weren't able to get the temperature in the tires, and that really I think handed the ball to Mercedes, and that is because they were unchallenged in the first half of the season that they were able to rack up as many wins and points and do what they did and basically make an unassailable leads at the top of both championships before they went into the summer break back at the beginning of August. But I mean, it is interesting to see how they have improved over the course of the year, but at the same time, I mean, it's, you know, it still isn't easy for them. I mean, you look ahead to Brazil this year, and Charles is going to have to take a grid penalty for a new engine. I mean, he's using a very old engine last race at Austin, and he suffered an oil leak during third practice, which made him revert to an older spec engine for the rest of the weekend. So that meant him he was slightly down on power, and I mean, he was way back. I mean, he finished fourth, but I mean, he was a country mile behind Max Verstappen and the two Mercedes. Anyways, so he's going to be he's going to end up with at least a 10 place grid penalty at the Brazilian Grand Prix for that. Anyways, that is disappointing to see. But I mean, going back to what Bonato was saying about the amount of development that they have done in season, I mean, yeah, I mean, it is impressive, but they said for the longest time that that they were just sort of struggling to get their head around the car and why it wasn't doing what they expected it to do. So, I mean, the development and the improvements that that they did make to the car, I mean, yeah, they came, but, I mean, it took a long time, really, to get to where they needed to be, and that is obviously really disappointing. Just talking about that, I mean, there was the controversy a couple of weeks ago where the FIA ruled on that and on the engines and what you can and cannot do. I mean, there was some speculation, like I was saying earlier, that Ferrari wasn't playing fair. And Charles was he was very critical about some of the claims that Max Verstappen said after the U.S. Grand Prix. And the quote from Max was, this is what happens when you stop cheating. Anyways, Vettel had to weigh in on that. And he said, quote, well, I think it is a sign of our times that a lot of people have something to say. I think that the big difference to the past is a lot of people are being heard, whereas maybe before they were being ignored. Everyone is free to say what they want and if that's what he thinks and what he may think. But obviously, we have a different opinion. So anyways, he was pushed a little bit more by the press on what he thought about Max Verstappen, and he said, quote, as I said, everybody is free to say what they want. I don't think anybody in the team took it personal. It is not professional or mature, but I can see that you, the media, are probably interested in me answering back, and I don't have much interest in that other to say than for us, the best way to answer is to go back to normal. So, I mean, that the best way to answer those criticisms, those comments from Max is Ferrari to go out. I mean, obviously, they didn't have a great weekend in Austin at the U.S. Grand Prix. I mean, qualifying wasn't bad. I mean, Vettel did all right. I mean, ended up in second, but they were just slow right off of the line. And Vettel dropped back several places in the opening laps. And then by lap 7 or 8, I mean, he was out of the race after the right rear suspension arm broke and he crashed out of the race. I mean, that was just bizarre. But I mean, Charles, he couldn't really get any real pace. And like I say, I mean, he finished fourth, but he was he was a country mile behind Bottas, Verstappen, Hamilton, who were further up the road. Anyways, just sort of keeping on that that whole engine drama. So the FIA has asked for the team's oil details in the latest twist to this this whole story. Anyways, they've issued a technical directive reiterating the previous instructions outline burning oil to improve fuel performance or to improve performance, and they've asked every team to send such details such as designation, specification, and quantity of lubricants in their engines, and it'll give them a reference to undertake any checks related to lubricant use in the future, and we'll give them an idea if anybody is burning oil to get a bit of boost in performance. Anyways, just going back to Ferrari again, this a little bit sort of contradictory to what Matteo Binotto was saying earlier when he said that the range of issues are, quote, more worrying than the core flaw. So, I mean, it's kind of contradicting his little bit, what he was saying earlier. I mean, he was, well, I mean, not 100%, because, I mean, he was saying that he was impressed with the amount of in-season development that they've done this year, whereas the reliability problems is even more worrying than the design and the problems that they had with it this year. So when he was talking before, Binotto said, all of them, each single one, all different. It is not a single factor commonality, which is even more worrying, because if you've got a single problem, you may address it. The fact we've got different problems is showing our entire process is not strong enough towards reliability. And that is a big difference. I mean, just going back to what Toto Wolff was saying earlier, that was really the details and the focus that really helped them win the championship this year. And that's different to Ferrari and exactly what Binotto was saying. It hasn't been any one thing. It's been a lot of different things, a lot of different problems that have really caused them grief this year. And again, that just, I think, underlines just how good that Mercedes are. I mean, it's one thing to design a good car, but I mean, if it isn't reliable, I mean, it can be fast, it can be all these different things, but, you know, if you're not going to finish a race, then what's the point? And I think that's what really makes Mercedes all that more impressive, is that we rarely see them retire for mechanical issues. I mean, it happens occasionally, but just not very often. So just Vettel was saying that the early stages of the Formula One season this year were about trying not to see the truth, as he puts it, as they fell further behind Mercedes. And he said they had to stay quite calm after an incredible first week of testing, but a lot of ups and downs to start the season gave way to the reality of what he said was, quote, we were just not quick enough. And that was a problem for them, obviously. And that's, you know, they just weren't up to it. And that's basically what it boils down to, that they were not able to keep up to Mercedes. And then even when they did have the speed, you know, they just haven't always been able to get both cars home. And that has been their big issue. Anyways, sticking with Ferrari, they still believe that that the top teams in Formula One will dominate in 2021, regardless of what happens. And, you know, that's despite the fact there will be a cost cap and the new rules and regulations, everything like that, to make the, you know, Formula One more exciting. And, you know, it sounds a little bit disheartening on one hand, but I mean, it seems like a logical statement, right? I mean, the best teams, you know, I think they'll find a way to be the best in the future as well, and not just not just right now. I mean, they know how to get things done. I mean, they're still going to have more resources than anyone else. I mean, they're going to have to watch in ways that that they spend. I mean, but the thing is, even in a salary or a cost cap world, I still think that that the advantage is going to be with teams like Ferrari, Mercedes, rather than teams like Racing Point and Haas. And I think that's just the nature of what it is. Anyways, the FIA, they hope that that the Formula One teams themselves will help police the loopholes in the 2021 rules, and they will. Of course, these rules are going to come in just over a year's time, and that's going to include a significant overhaul to the cars. They're going to cut back on the complexity of the wings, eliminate the barge boards, and they're going to do what they call revive an emphasis on ground effect dynamics. So during the rulemaking process, some of the people in charge of establishing the best way to stop the teams from manipulating the wake performance, started looking at the regulations from the point of team aerodynamicists, and the purpose was to try and break the rules, as it were, and try and find different loopholes in and around what they were trying to do. So, I mean, I think that's a smart way to do it. I mean, it's one thing to come down, okay, these are the rules, you know, it's in black and white, but, you know, that you know, as long as there's rules there, I mean, of course, it's the job of the teams and the engineers and the designers and everyone to try and find ways to exploit those. I mean, not out and out cheat, but, I mean, there are ways to push the envelope and kind of play in that that gray area. And, of course, we were just talking about that in a different regard with, you know, Ferrari and what they've allegedly, supposedly been doing with their engines. I mean, unless I guess it's ruled out in black and white on paper in the rule book that comes from the FIA, that that if there's a little bit of vagueness there, then teams are going to play that. So it'll be interesting to see now whether or not they can get teams to sort of come to their aid and kind of maybe police and self-govern these rules and any loopholes. I don't know. It seems like a little bit of a stretch, but at the end of the day, I guess it really comes down to who really wants it to be a fair fight, who really wants to have a more equal, more parity in Formula One, have it more, I guess, unpredictable. So I don't know. It seems like a bit of a stretch, but who knows? Maybe their greater sense of sportsmanship will play out. Anyways, Honda said that they wanted what they call a clean and fair battle in the engine wars, and he says, and this is coming from Honda's F1 technical director Toyoharu Tanabe, who says he only wants a fair battle with his rival manufacturers, and this is in the wake of the suspicions over the legality of Ferrari's engine design. And Tanabe had to say to motorsport.com, there's some ways to improve performance of the engine and the chassis using gray areas or techniques, fuel, oil burning, something like that. We are very keen to have a fair race under FIA Formula One regulations, respecting the regulation. That's our desire, to have a clean, fair race. We need FIA policing. And of course, I think that that's been seen, what with that mandate that they put out earlier this week to get all the engine data from the different teams, so that they have some sort of benchmark to see what's going on. Also, just talking about the 2021 rules and about the targets for downforce and dirty air, are they achievable? That is really going to be, I think that's a big question. I mean, the thing is that part of the problem is that the disturbance of the aero wake in the current cars does make it difficult for the following car to get close. And of course, if you can't get close, it doesn't make it as easy to pass someone. And that's why you have specialists in lake braking like Danny Ricciardo, and sometimes people doing extreme things to try and get in front of the car in front of them. It remains to be seen. I think that the regulations that the Formula One has right now, that came in last year, I think that is an interim kind of thing. I think that they've worked to a certain extent. I mean, it hasn't been wheel to wheel and cars passing each other each and every race, but I mean, it certainly has had its moments. And I think we have to take out some of the outlier races like the German Grand Prix this year, because I mean, when it gets wet, I mean, anything can happen. But you know, the one thing that that I'm not really a big fan of is the DRS and almost the artificial overtaking. I mean, it helps by giving the car following an opportunity to get closer and pass. What with having the wings open when you're within the 1 second to to activate the DRS. So I don't know. It's really hard to say. I mean, it's one thing to simulate and model all these things in a computer, and it could be something, could be completely different when it comes onto the track in just over a year from now. Anyways, Pirelli has revealed a new approach to deliver better Formula One tires, and well, they've had some ideas of what they want to do for 2020, and that hasn't been really met with a lot of positive reviews from the drivers, and they said that they have an agreement with the FIA with a series of targets related to the performance of their tire products, and this has included aspects relating to their behavior, lap time deltas, and number of pit stops. So one of the limiting factors that hurt the race is the way that tires behave when they're following other cars quite closely, and so Pirelli has looked at that, and it's led to a rethink of how they do things, because we've seen that you've get like a couple of cars, you get one guy that's obviously faster than the car in front of him, he pushes it a little bit, and then the tires tend to go off fairly quickly, and I don't really like that. It seems kind of silly, that the tires in some circumstances, cars are coming in after 10-12 laps for their pit stops, and in some case you'll have like one car going with the softs or the mediums or whatever it might be, and sometimes the guys on the harder compound, you'd expect that they're going to have the benefit of staying out for maybe another 5 or 10 laps or whatever it is depending on the circuit that they're at, but sometimes that advantage is only lasted for a lap or two at most, and that just seems a little bit silly. So Mario Sola, the head of racing at Pirelli, said that the biggest difference, we've identified a number of targets that are a priority, like working the range and reduction in overheating, plus we are also defining the numbers for delta, lap time, and degradation. So instead of having a letter with all the targets set on the same level of importance, we want to focus on the more important ones. It makes it clear for us, but not making our life easier, because you have a clear targets, you have to achieve the targets, but we share and agree on the targets, and that is important. And just talking about the 2020 tires, so that could come down to a vote by the teams after the tires are tested in Abu Dhabi next month. So if 7 of the 10 teams are still unhappy with the tire specs for next year, Pirelli could be obliged to stick with the proven tires from this year for next season. So all the teams were given two sets of 2020 spec Pirellis to try at Friday practice at the U.S. Grand Prix, but drivers were so frustrated by a lack of grip that the teams were starting to question and ask whether Pirelli had gone in the right direction, and then they were just flat out saying that it should might even be better just to stick with the 2019 tires instead. So that could come down to a vote. But, it was a little bit cooler in Austin, if I remember hearing correctly. So that could have had a little bit of an issue, or caused a little bit of an issue of getting heat into the tires and getting the grip and all that. But, being in the desert in the Middle East at Abu Dhabi next month should take that out of the equation. So we'll just have to sit back and wait for those the verdict to come in. Anyways, there's a couple more things we're just not going to get to because it's getting late here. And I got to be up at 5 in the morning, so I still got a couple hours to post-processing here, and I want to get to bed, guys. Anyways, I'm just going to wrap it up and follow up on a story we were talking about last week, and that's about the possibility of having a second race in the U.S. in Miami. So apparently the mayor of Miami has basically kept the idea, kept some hope going after he vetoed a resolution at City Hall. And so basically what he did is he vetoed this resolution that would have blocked the use of public roads for the event, which is scheduled for May in 2021. And again, this is the intended track that is around the Hard Rock Stadium where the Miami Dolphins play. And so it mostly uses car parks and other land owned by the Miami Dolphins, but it does include a section of 199th Street. And so the council was trying to block that by preventing them, passing this resolution, preventing them from using any public roads. So the mayor did step in and decide that that's not good. So anyways, I think it's a good move by Mayor Jimenez. And he said on social media, "I vetoed a resolution that would impact Formula One racing as planned at Hard Rock Stadium for 2021. Earlier this week, I met with Miami Gardens residents, stadium officials, and other stakeholders who have raised concerns about the noise and potential air pollution. We will continue to work on reaching a compromise that benefits residents, racing fans, and our country, a county's economy. So I think that is the right approach to take. I don't think that, I mean, there has to be a compromise that will satisfy everyone. Of course, I spoke last week or the week before about the residents in the area there. You can understand the concerns that they're going to have, not just about noise and air pollution, but just the inconvenience of having a major event like that going in and around their home. So there's a lot of different levels, a lot of different layers to this one. But certainly I hope that they can get it sorted out. But with the mayor involved, hopefully they can come to some compromise and get this thing sorted out. Anyways, like I say, I'm going to wrap it up right here. It is the Brazilian Grand Prix this weekend. Should be, well, hopefully we're in for some good racing. Obviously, it doesn't mean anything in the terms of the World Championships, what with Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton having those wrapped up already. I'm just hoping for a good race because if you remember last year was that bizarre and stupid incident between Max Verstappen and Esteban Ocon when they came together when Ocon decided he wanted to unlap himself and kind of started racing Max Verstappen, who was in the lead, and that led to an unnecessary collision in turn two, and that should have been a race that Max was going to win. Ended up going to Lewis, and Max ending up in second. But I was like Interlagos. You remember that really, really rainy one we had? What was it, in 2016, 2017, whatever that one was. But that was just brilliant watching Max Verstappen just carving his way through the field. It was good fun to watch. Anyways, thank you very much for downloading and listening to the show. If you want to show us some support, the best thing to do is go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you download and listen to podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and review. It really would help us out, and we would really appreciate it. If you have any thoughts, comments, questions, or feedback, you can send that to us here at scuderiaf1pod@gmail.com, or you can tweet us on Twitter at scuderiaf1pod. And that's it. That's a wrap. Enjoy the Brazilian Grand Prix, and we'll talk to you again this time next week. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Scuderia F1 podcast. If you want to get the show notes for this episode, then head over to scuderiaf1pod.com. Want to get in touch with us? Then email us at scuderiaf1pod@gmail.com.